Karate in the Garage. I'm Corey Culp.
I'm Freddie Waff.
March Madness kickstart number one.
Bingo.
March Madness is still coming, but last week we were fortunate enough to have friend Brent Simon, screenwriter of and co-creator of Megamind and the two new things, Megamind Rules and Megamind versus the Doom Syndicate, dropping on Peacock last week on 3-1. If you haven't had a chance to see it yet, check it out. It's not a kids' movie. It's not kids' fare. It's smart enough in there for you to enjoy it as an adult, but still kind of goofy enough in there to let you be a kid a little bit while you're watching it too.
I mean, that's the thing that was great about, like I said to Brent, like the thing that was great about it was I didn't have to dumb it down. I didn't have to be dumb. I didn't have to,
right.
I didn't have, you know, it was smart enough to keep me engaged. And I mean, I laughed a lot, you know, it definitely had an adult sense of humor while being able to appeal to kids. It was fun. I haven't had a chance to tune in yet, but I'm going to. I just, you know, trying to catch up on stuff. And I hadn't had a whole lot of time to watch TV. Yeah, man, all that voting that does me no good. I don't even know why I vote, honestly. I guess just because I can, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I'm not interested and I don't watch this award shows. So.
Yeah. I don't either, because who cares? What did I just say to you 2 days ago? Fucking Oscars suck.
Yeah, I mean, all they're doing is fucking ruining traffic so that I can't go see The Outsiders this week. That's my main problem with the Oscars this week.
Dude, that whole shutting, you know, ever since they moved to the Kodak, and what was the hell was it before? The Dolby. It was the Kodak and now it's the Dolby, right?
Right.
The fuck is it now?
Yeah, it's the, is it still the Dolby? I think it's something else. I think it's changing its name again. I don't even care anymore. That's the funny thing is I think the last time I saw anything there, honestly, was the Ten Commandments, the musical starring Val Kilmer. So you tell me how long ago that was.
Oh, no, it's still the Dolby Theater.
Okay, well, there you have it. I mean, but I wouldn't know because I don't even remember the last time I was at Hollywood and Highland. Like that whole thing that never really became anything. I feel like the last time I walked through it, most of it was deserted. There's a bunch of empty stores in there.
Do you know the one I can't get over? Because I feel like every time I turn around, it's got a new name. And that was the Nokia. The Nokia became the Microsoft Theater, and then it became the Peacock Theater. Now, that happened recently. I don't know when that happened. When was that? Became the Peacock Theater. Oh, last July. Last July 11th, 2023.
Right, in the summer, I remember.
It was weird because it was Nokia for like 12 years, no, 8 years, something like that. And then it turned to Microsoft Theater right around the time that Ballmer was getting involved with the Clippers, right?
Right around the time he purchased them, yes.
Yeah. And then the Peacock Theater last year. Hey, guess what Peacock had premiere last week?
What?
Megamind.
What?
The new show, the Megamind Rules and Megamind versus the Doom Syndicate.
I know. I still have to get into it. Like I said, now that I'm caught up, I'm going to try to get into it this week.
It was bad timing because Jody insisted on me waiting to watch it with him. And then it was Melody's birthday on Saturday. So we were all tied down doing all that kind of stuff. But because I know what's going to happen. I know we're going to watch the movie, which is a direct sequel to the original. And then we're going to go right through those episodes and of the series after that pretty quick. So I don't want to do all that.
No.
Because I got to carve out the time. Otherwise, what am I going to do, man?
What you going to do?
But it's got a good reaction. You know, the episode that we put out last week with Brent, part one. Part two will come out this week, Wednesday on Patreon, per usual, and Friday to the public. And that's going to be a Filmnesia episode. The movie that we cover will be a surprise because that's how we do things.
It will be.
But I think like with all the other ones, I think all the Filmnesia ones have surprised people because it's not necessarily movies that we wouldn't choose that we haven't talked about, but usually they're movies that are pretty surprising. You know, we've done Angel Heart. We've done Bram Stoker's Dracula. I mean, these aren't things that we wouldn't have done at some point. But it's funny, like when we've had the guest pick it, like, oh yeah, that's a great one. Let's do that. But Brent was very specific. He goes, has everybody done this? And I'm like, no, I can't tell you the last time I did that. And it was funny. We had a great conversation about it too. We were all like really into the idea of it once to talk about it because you forget
You'll hear me in the episode. Yeah. It was almost like I had never seen it.
Yeah. It's because it's, yeah. And you'll hear, and you'll numerous reasons why. And I don't want to talk about it anymore without ruining it. Cause you'll hear it. And, we might soften the enthusiasm once you hear the episode, if we keep touting about how much we enjoyed the movie anyway. So yeah, Wednesday on Patreon, Friday on public release. And then next week, March Madness kicks in for real.
Awesome.
So, and we've already recorded the first episode. Second episode will get covered sometime this week. We're still undecided how we're going to do it. And me, we'll get into it. The movie's chosen. It's just a matter of how we're going to do it. And we'll leave that open and for interpretation. So anyway, also last week we dropped a Deja Vu review episode of Jaws 2. That was our surprise episode that we dropped on July 1st after we did a whole month of I Always Like a Good Number 2. And that was probably one of my favorite episodes we've ever done. And listen to it again as I was remixing it was fun to hear. Especially when we had just watched the first Halloween, the original Halloween, a couple nights before I was mixing this. So, and if you heard the episode, you'll understand why. And if you haven't, and you're new to us because of Spotify, there it is for you to consume.
Consumption.
Yeah, those Deja reviews are hitting on Tuesdays on Patreon and then on Thursdays on Spotify until they run out, which I think we have like about 15 to 17 more that'll be coming out once a week over the next 17 weeks now. So, mentioned last week that the Gentleman series is going to be coming to Netflix, and you were fortunate enough to get more than just a little tease that you saw. You actually got to see.
I did. I saw the first episode, man. Yeah. Wild. Yes. I don't know how I ended up on that. I don't know how I ended up on this list for Netflix premieres, but I'm not going to complain. But I had never been to the Tudum Theater there on Ivar, which I don't know. I guess they just built it for Netflix because there's Netflix insignias all over the outside of the building. Nomenclature everywhere on the walls and everything else. But it's a really, really nice space. But man, look, I was worried about how are they going to do this Gentleman thing without tying into the movie, or if they tie it into the movie, is it going to suck? All of my questions were answered within probably the first 5 minutes. And then, it was off to the races. It's a really good time. They do a great job of setting up the series. I mean, as soon as it ended, I was like, God damn it, I got to wait a week now. And then I had to look to make sure they were dropping all the episodes at once and not, going to drop them one at a time, because I was like, that's like torture.
Yeah.
But no, they are all dropping this Friday, the 8th. It's a really good time, man. I mean, the cast, there's a lot of, you'll see a lot of familiar faces, and then you'll see a lot of, to the Guy Ritchie universe, that is, and then you'll see a lot of the three leads are amazing. They were there to do a Q&A, and they are just as cool and likable as people as they are as the characters in The Gentleman. Theo James,
all right,
as Eddie Halstead, Kaya Scodelario, I think is how you say her name, but she's fantastic. Susie Glass, who at this moment, after one episode, is my favorite character in this thing. And then Daniel Ings as Freddie Halstead. Freddie and Theo are brothers. I don't want to tell you too much about what happens. I'm going to leave that to you to figure it out when you're watching it, because it happens very quickly and it's awesome. But the rest of the cast, I mean, Julie Richardson's in it, Vinnie Jones, Giancarlo Esposito shows up, Ray Winstone shows up at some point, not in the first episode, but somewhere along the lines, I'm sure he's going to show up. But I'm just talking about the first episode and what I was able to see last Wednesday. I don't know that there was not a seat left in the room. People literally standing ovation at the end of it and at the end of the Q&A. So yeah, man, it was well received. It was a damn good time. And if Guy Ritchie's your jam, this is as jammy as you want it to be.
Yeah.
there.
You know, Kaia Scodelario, she plays
Crawl, right?
Haley in Crawl. Yeah. So we've dug her work for a long time. It wasn't until after the teaser came out that I was looking at the cast and I'm like, I didn't even recognize her.
No, nor did I, dude. Like, I didn't even, until you had actually said it in that text chain, I was like, oh, shit, no way, that is her. Because she is totally, it's a whole nother ball game here. And like I said, she is my favorite character after the first episode. I'm like, oh, yeah, dude, I need more Susie Glass for sure.
And the thing was funny, because when you watch that teaser trailer, or not sure what teaser, but it was a trailer, she had that Michelle Dockery vibe. So that's why I couldn't tell. I'm like, is this a prequel? Is like, I couldn't tell because it felt like she was kind of channeling her the way they did her makeup, the way they had her dressed. I thought that she was just playing a younger version of her. And then once I kind of had a better understanding of what was going on, even before you had seen that episode, I'm like, oh, I think I have an understanding of how this is working. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's funny because, they've done a very nice job. The only thing that this has in common with at this point, with The Gentleman, I'd have to go back and watch the movie just to see if there's any of the smaller characters in The Gentleman have actually are showing up in this, but it's just literally the same world. You know, it's right. The criminal London underground, you know, populated with, you know, kooks and criminals that we love and love to hate. Her character is great. I mean, the two brothers are awesome. I mean, it's really interesting how they set it up. And like I said, the first episode is super fun and, you know, it's as Guy Ritchie as it's going to get.
Right. I'm looking forward to, I mean, I've been looking forward to digging into it for a bit. And I'm like, that's something else too I appreciate with Netflix. When they're putting the trailers out, it's right around the corner. It has been like, oh, now you got to wait 6 months. They tease you hard enough, like Stranger Things and shit like that. With these newer shows, they're just like, oh, this is coming. Oh, a Netflix movie will be out in 2 weeks. That's what I've been appreciating, that they've been turning them around so quick. Okay. Also, other than going underground too, underneath a shipping container, that part seemed to be consistent. At least the trailer.
Yeah, no, it has elements, but like I said, it's literally, I mean, but there's no mention of McConaughey. None of that has surfaced in the first episode. There's a whole nother thing, but I mean, that element is there. They have elements of the film, but no direct ties as far as I could tell from my remembrance of all of the characters in The Gentleman and then what transpired on Wednesday night.
Right. I'm excited to watch it.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's literally, it's the most fun that it's funny because I want to say it's the most fun I've had at a movie theater, and it's not even a movie. But it is, the first episode, I think, was close to 75 minutes long.
Yeah.
Because it was over an hour.
I like that Netflix has been doing this because before the pandemic, they were doing it at the Egyptian too. They were showing off, the Netflix only movies, but it wasn't because the usual reason why they bought theaters to begin with is so they can make them Oscar and other award show eligible, because it was TV show that stuff they were showing. But it was cool, man, because though, I mean, whatever time can you actually go see a TV show and have like a full crowd of people that are there to see that? You know what I mean? You just don't, it's done, but I think Netflix is the only one that's really doing it. I think Hulu might've done it here and there. But that's just a different beast. That's like Disney down through all the studios they now own are doing that. But I think it's cool that Netflix has been pretty consistent about promoting their stuff that way, especially a show. I mean, it made a lot of sense to do that with The Gentleman because it's a new series based on a movie. Unfortunately, a lot of people did not see in the theater, which seems to be atypical, you know, Guy Ritchie stuff, unless he's doing the live action Aladdin, where it's really just a gun for hire, or Sherlock Holmes. And those both.
Guy does that, like, you know, one for me, two for them, or two for them, one for whatever he does. You know, that's his thing, right?
I think it's a 1-4 ratio, but yeah, I'm with you.
But I mean, I feel like that's what he does, right? Like, you know, he did Aladdin. I mean, there's that King Arthur movie that he did a few years ago.
Yeah. Which is most, the King Arthur one was mostly basically King Arthur with that whole Sherlock Holmes vibe that he created with those Robert Downey Jr. movies, which I guess they're doing a third one. Aren't they doing a third one? I thought they were.
Yeah, but I don't think he's directing. I thought somebody else was directing. I thought it was already, it might be in the can already.
Oh, it could be.
but I feel like somebody else directed it. Like he's just producer on it. Which, who knows?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, Dexter Fletcher did it. Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
I'm with that. Yeah. Yeah,
but I mean, I feel like that thing, I feel like we talked about that a bazillion times, and it's like, shouldn't that thing have been out already?
Yeah, because he did Rocket Man, Fletcher.
Yeah.
And Eddie the Eagle, which was good. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just curious, like, when and, you know, where. Like, I feel like we talked about this, like, when we saw The Gentleman in 2020. I feel like we had this conversation about the Sherlock Holmes things. So who knows? One of these days it'll come out.
Well, it's in pre-production. So it's not even,
okay. Well, it's been in pre-production for a long time because I know I looked that up at least a year ago.
Yeah. And we definitely mentioned this just recently because we were talking about Jared Harris.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, and how part two is better than part one.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's always, I love a good number two, which we'll get to later. Maybe we'll do another I Love a Good Number Two, good number two, part two.
We didn't mention videos, but it was in the show notes last week. But even between, they've in typical fashion, they're just, I love it. They just, I see, here's the thing. Like, I'm not sure if everybody understands that there is a public screening fee that most of the time you have to pay when you have more than a certain number of people watching a movie that you're presenting and taking dollars in on. It's so when Vidiots have randomly put something up, and they do, I mean, I have to think they're pretty good about paying these things. They're not just going into their library and going, hey, let's pull this Blu-ray out for rental and we'll show that this week. I'm not saying they don't have digital projections like that. I'm saying they do still pay money to make sure that they have the rights to screen a movie.
Right.
They're really good about last minute additions. And March, even though March is now 4 days old, they had added a bunch of stuff last week in between me just putting out the episode, even though we didn't talk about it. Vidiot's scheduled movies. They had a whole bunch of stuff. And I think we kind of talked about, I bet you're leaving March open so they can put all their Oscar fare on there. And I have to say there is some stuff on there that's more Oscar oriented.
Yeah. Things like Born in East LA.
Exactly. Oscars.
Yeah, Wallace and Gromit.
Hey, Wallace and Gromit was nominated.
No, I know it was. But I think that Born in East LA was nominated for Best Song.
Oh, it could have been.
Best movie based on a song.
Maybe so.
Mississippi Masala. There's another one that should have been nominated.
So good. The Player from Robert Altman.
The Player. I mean, dude, it's weird. Like it gets, and I feel like there's going to be way more to come. Like every week we're going to be having this conversation during March because there's a lot of days that aren't accounted for yet here and things that I'm feeling they're going to fill in the blanks with. But right. I mean, dude, you're not wrong when you say there's some fucking excellent things coming.
Yeah.
You know, Johnny Guitar, dude. When was the last time you saw anyone screen Johnny Guitar?
There's going to be somebody out there listening to this show that's going to be Johnny Guitar? they're going to be able to answer this question. Like I'm going to ask it. Why on Saturday, March 9th, are they showing Joan Crawford's Johnny Guitar? I don't know. But somebody's got an answer for me.
Sure,
I don't know. I don't know, is it her birthday that day? I don't know.
I mean, look, for me, like, there's many reasons to celebrate this movie. I mean, you got Ernest Borgnine, who we've talked about ad nauseum. Joan Crawford, obviously. John Carradine, the father of the Carradines, best known to me for playing Dracula. And I'm sure a bunch of other things I'm just not thinking of. He's in The Howling, obviously.
We used to hunt.
Mercedes McCambridge, and then Sterling Hayden. I mean, the movie... And it's also directed by Nicholas Ray. Maybe it's Nick Ray's birthday. I don't know.
Maybe.
That would be, I don't know.
Yeah, it's not her because she was like born.
She's like a Virgo or something.
Yeah, she's March 23rd, her birthday is, I think.
Oh, Pisces.
No, Nick Ray. August 7th, 1911. Mm,
well, I don't know. Yeah, you keep guessing. Or we could just hope somebody answers this.
Well, because I looked, I thought maybe they'll put in the details, but no.
I love how they kind of throw up these Disney movies too, just randomly. Like, they threw up The Princess and the Frog was up, and then now they're throwing out Frozen.
And for like Sunday matinee. And I can't, honestly, I can't believe, even though it was Oscar Day, I can't believe it's not sold out yet.
Sure. I mean, it probably will be. I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah.
The things that excite me mostly, like, are John Waters' Pink Flamingos, which I've never seen in a big screen, which unfortunately I don't think I'm going to make it, but you never know. I mean, for me, it's always last minute. Somebody will ask me, or I'll just decide that I can make time to go.
I mean, that's a tough drive.
That's a tough time to make it too. It's 7:30 on a Tuesday. But Mississippi Masala, which is one of my favorite Denzel movies.
Yep.
Which I've, again, never seen on a big screen. I didn't even discover this movie until it came out on VHS back in 91. Dude, I was in college and we went to rent something. And Denzel was kind of like an up-and-coming young actor. And I was like, oh, yeah, this will be pretty good. And it was. It was really good.
Right.
But I've never seen it on a big screen. And man, that's awesome that they're screening that thing. Then the original Willy Wonka, which I cannot remember the last time I saw this in a movie theater.
Another one I can't believe when I was a kid. Right?
I mean, I know I haven't seen this as a grown-up in a theater, for sure. Buena Vista Social Club is another one. Wim Wenders, that thing, obviously. And that obviously was nominated for several Oscars.
Right.
Or at least one. Umbrellas of Cherbourg, which I have not seen. But I am aware of it. I know what it is. It's one of those movies that, like, you know, every art direction book in the world has stills from this. Assault on Precinct 13 may be the next thing I'm going to see.
Yeah.
But again, it's on a Thursday. It'll be one of those things that I hope to get to, but who knows? You mentioned, your movie sold out like in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Sleep with Anger, man. I think I said, I'm like, this, you should go see this because it's not a movie that ever gets screened anywhere. It's mostly forgotten. And I remember because Glover had reached a standpoint of his career because of the Lethal Weapon movies where he got elevated beyond the smaller parts he was playing. For him to pivot into this after Lethal 2 was such a just... He wanted to really act. And this is, I mean, To Sleep with Anger is mostly it's the kind of performances you get from people that are more in line with a theater production. And I'm telling you, this is something I guarantee you, you have never seen Danny Glover like he is in this. And it's, oof. A great cast too. Shirley Ralph.
Man.
Richard Brooks. Paul Butler. Mary Alice. I mean, it's so good.
All solid.
If you don't have tickets for it and you're not in Los Angeles anyway, or you're not in Los Angeles, just rent it because it's so fucking good. You're going to have not a new appreciation, but I got to think that most people haven't seen this.
Special guests are going to be is my thing. It might be worth just showing up if you are here. It might be worth showing up on the 26th because there are a lot of last minute no shows and it's first come first serve. So look, man, very least you're going to do is get a glimpse of, you know, Danny Glover and you can go next door and rent some movies.
Yeah.
But again, it's one of those things that they're really good about, like, first come first serve. Cause when I went to see Drugstore, it was sold out, but there was a standby line with about 11 people in, and they all got in.
Yeah.
Just sometimes you just show up.
Yeah.
You know, worst thing is you go have a cup of coffee, rent a movie and go home.
Yeah. This movie is going to, if it's the first time for you, it's going to, I don't want to say it's going to change your world, but definitely it's going to change your perception of Danny Glover. That's what I was kind of noting that's why I noted Lethal Weapon 2 is like for a lot of people, they'd seen him in smaller stuff, you know, to see him like Places in the Heart, right? That's probably the highest profile movie he was in at that point.
Oh, Witness.
Paying attention for, well,
Witness, I mean, with Harrison Ford.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, they didn't really see him as
that. I mean, he's the dick. He's the bad guy, man. He's the fucking villain.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying he's not.
I'm just saying. That was the first movie I noticed him in was that. And it's kind of that for me, like when I think about Danny Glover, the first thing I remember, I've seen Places in the Heart, but like for me, it's like Witness. I'm like, oh yeah, he was a bad guy. And then the next time I saw him, he was Murtaugh. And I was like, that's that douchebag that tried to kill Harrison Ford. How's that grain taste?
I think we talked about on the show. This is like the only time we were talking about Lethal Weapon, right?
Which time we talked about Lethal Weapon? Do we ever talk about Lethal Weapon?
No, because we always say that somebody else do, but I'm gonna talk about it right now. When they cast both Danny Glover and Mel Gibson in those parts, right away, I thought, these guys make Oscar movies. Why are they making an action movie? I just thought it was such a weird pairing.
Right. Because they had both sort of come off. Yeah. Mel was, you know, doing things like Miss Saffel and.
Right.
You're right. They were like this is where they sort of, but both of them were kind of recreated with Lethal Weapon. So
yeah,
it's, you're right. It is kind of funny for Danny Glover to go back to do something like this. And then people to think, oh my God, I'd never seen him do anything like this, which if they had been paying attention early on, he had been doing.
Yeah. He was already,
I never thought of it that way.
Yeah. It's because for the majority of the public though, they know Witness, but they think of Kelly McGillis and they think of Harrison Ford. Even though he's a fucking great bad guy. The only time that's the thing. I think Danny's got more, let's just say this. I think his character in To Sleep With Anger has more in common with his character in Witness than he does with Lethal Weapon.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And once you see the movie, you'll know what I'm talking about, but that's just how it is. Yeah.
And he's great in Places of the Heart. You're not wrong. I mean, he's kind of the second lead.
Yeah.
And again, that's a movie, like I would love to see that movie on a big screen. That's a movie I've never seen in a theater, but I've seen it several times, you know, from when I was young on cable. It was on all the time.
All the time.
That, Country, and what was the other one with Mel Gibson? The River, right? They were all kind of came out at the same time.
Yeah.
Him and Sissy Spacek. See, Mel Gibson, Danny Glover, they kind of made similar movies before they were cast in Lethal Weapon.
Yeah. And oh, by the way, since we're talking about The River, I'll think about that real quick. That was the first year that they had a separate category for sound effects.
Right.
One of my mentors, her best friend, won the first Oscar for this.
For The River.
The River, you're like going, wait, how the hell is that movie winning like best sound effects? Well.
Oh, dude.
Yeah,
are you
that's
kidding?
What I mean, because you haven't seen it. That's how. That's why you're asking the question. Yes,
then you haven't seen the movie if you have to ask that question. 100% on that.
Yeah. Kay Rose won. She was the supervising sound editor on that, and she won an Oscar for the very first Oscar. And her daughter still works in sound a lot. She actually passed away. Gosh. She passed away at 80. That's right. December 11, 2002. That's right when I first met, for my mentor in Maryland, I met Kay's daughter, Victoria Sampson, and she was great because she came and did a lot of sound design classes and stuff at the school. But yeah, cool beans. What a great little circle that is. They all had a loop group together. That's how they all met. They were all in a loop group. I have to say, a little sidebar story real quick, because I don't think Victoria's ever going to be able to come on the show. Victoria Sampson, again, working in sound design and as every level of sound, as far as post-production goes, she worked on Return of the Jedi and she actually had to take the reels. She did the hand carry situation, flying on the plane kind of thing. And remember that story years ago that about all the reels of Return of the Jedi being stolen?
Yes.
Those were the ones she was carrying.
Oh,
that got stolen. Yeah, I did. Crazy to think about. Yeah, your career is over. No, but they found everything. So it was just, do you know a story? It's out there. Maybe if I can find a link to it, I'll post it in the show notes. But yeah, Victoria was a great, she has always been awesome. She's been such a cool lady over the years. And she's helped a lot of my friends that were students going through school, help them get jobs. And include my friend, Steve Schatz. He did a lot of re-recording mixing for a bunch of shit. He's going to come on the show one of these days soon. He and his wife, they had their first kid a year and a half ago, but I haven't talked to him in a while because I know it's like having a kid at that age. It's work and then sleep when you can, when the baby's not keeping you awake.
Right. Before we bail, I want to want to say the other thing about the other show I watched on Netflix, which everybody should, if you haven't seen it, check it out, House of Ninjas on Netflix. It's funny because I hadn't watched anything on Netflix for ages, but after The Gentleman, I flipped over there just to see what was on and I came across House of Ninjas, which is awesome.
Yeah.
I blew through the whole thing in about 3 days and that's only because I forced myself to do it in 3 days.
Yeah.
Because it is so much fun, man. It's half Seijin Suzuki, half Stephen Chow, all badass. And it's set up perfect for season two. It's not your normal Netflix fare. If you're a fan of the genre, you'll love the shit out of this. And if you're not a fan of the genre, you will be after you watch this. That's where I'm going to leave it. House of Ninjas, Netflix.
You had asked me about it. I'm like going, wait, what is that? And I'm like, looked it up. I'm like, fuck, now I got one more thing to watch.
Dude, it's crazy, right? It's literally like, fuck. I mean, you know, Netflix, I will say this about Netflix. I mean, because I hadn't, like, again, I was on the fence about canceling it, but then every once in a while they'll drop something that I have to keep it for, like The Gentlemen. But they have added a whole bunch of sort of this type genre stuff. And I don't know if it has to do with the strike. And it was stuff that they were just, okay, we'll go make stuff in Japan and Hong Kong, et cetera, et cetera. There's a bunch of new shows added, but this one, dude, this one kicks ass because it definitely has all of the elements that you'd want in it and then more. So it's really good. It moves at a good pace and it's fucking fun, man. That's all I get to say.
What's funny, I'm going to say something about in that frame of Netflix putting stuff up there that makes you stick around a little bit longer. Jeff Chan did a movie for them a couple of years ago called Code 8 from his short that he did in 2016. His movie came out in 2019. Well, Code 8 Part 2 just premiered, or is it premiering this week? Fuck, I can't remember.
I think it's out now because it's in my feed of things, my recommendations.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet, but I really liked it. I talked about before the other show when I was covering Upload for Amazon. I was talking about this Robbie Amell show, which is, again, he's the lead in both Code 8 and Part 2. I like the first movie a lot. As far as like Netflix movies goes, it's pretty good. It's very much, it's got the tone of it's very much like Spielberg's Minority Report. It's very much that vibe.
Yep.
But Jeff Chan's a solid director. And this is, I got to think they're going to have a series out of this because the way things are going, how many times have we seen Netflix make a sequel to a movie of a Netflix movie? They treat them the same way they treat their TV series, two seasons and that's it. And then you don't get no more.
Right.
Then they put some money behind because Part 2 has got, I could tell from the trailer, they got some money in it.
Well, it definitely looks like they did up the ante a little bit from the first film. Like if you look at the first film and then you look at the trailer for the second film, I haven't watched it yet, but I just added it to my, to my queue when I finished House of Ninjas. The first one is super fun and I'm kind of excited to watch this one. I just have to, you know, again, it's going to have to be when I have time, and it looks like the perfect kind of movie to watch when it's gloomy and rainy outside.
That with the first Code 8, because Stephen Amell is in it also. You guys know him from playing Green Arrow on the CW show.
Yep.
Yeah, they're cousins. Robbie and Stephen are cousins in real life. What's funny is you watch the first movie, they almost don't promote him, that he's even in it. You know, people know who Robbie is, but I think for the Netflix crowd, I think people would know who Stephen was more because of Arrow. Any case, Robbie's the star of both movies, but you see Stephen much more prominently on the art and everything for the second movie. Now, I'm looking forward to watching this. Joey's like, what is that? I'm like, oh, I realized he hadn't seen the first movie. So I have to do that. It's got like, again, it's the first movie. I can't speak for the second one. I haven't watched it yet, obviously. It's got lots of elements like RoboCop 2 with the, you know, with the drug use and stuff like that. It's got lots of that kind of vibe to it, but it's and a little bit of X-Men.
It's a little bit Judge Dreddy. It's got all those things in it. Yeah, absolutely. It's fun. Yep. It's super fun.
All right. Hey, so if you want to follow us on the socials, it's at Karate Pod on Twitter, Insta, and Letterboxd. If I'm calling Corey on Letterboxd at Corey_Culp and on Insta at Culper97. And if you want to support the show or get those episodes a little early, like we've been dropping, you can hit us up at patreon.com/karatepod and subscribe.
If you'd like to follow me, you can follow me at rockandroller33 on your Instagram, or you can follow me at bobbyglass@letterboxd.com. That's Bobby Glass at Letterboxd. Or you can follow me at The Real John Ladd on Blue Sky. That's The Real John Ladd at Blue Sky.